My name is Matt Wagner. I'm owner of Matt Wagner Design.
Mike Eads, owner of Eads Signs, etc.
Dennis Au, Historic Preservation Officer, City of Evansville.
We're standing in front of Pearl Laundry. It's a building that I pass on my way to work every morning. But I'm going to be honest, I have never really stopped and given it much thought. And so we're standing looking at the sign. And Dennis, there's something interesting about it. What is that?
This is a great example of people passing by and not looking. The Pearl Laundry, if you look up on one end, it still says stable. And this building went up in 1912 when they still had horse-drawn vehicles where they picked up and delivered the laundry. And that's still up there. And you know what else is great? It's still Pearl Laundry, and they're still in business. Go inside. They're proud of it. The letters are very boxy, very angular, and that's because of the material they're working with. I think the masons right on the site were using very rectangular pieces of stone and then cutting them down and fitting them into the matrix of the brick.
And it's a font that's loosely called stovepipe. It's a term for a very evenly width sans-serif Gothic font. And as you can see in the D, they really didn't go to any extra trouble whatsoever.
It is a box.
To make it a D.
It's yeah.
Like, well, it might be an O, it might be a D. I think you'll figure it out.
It could be Lonnery.
Right. They didn't cut anything round. They didn't play around with anything extra.
This is where Gestalt theory comes in. Your brain fills in the gaps because, you know, there's no need to make that angled on the D because you're going to see it's not, it's obviously not an O. And, you know, one of the unique features, I think, of this sign that I think might go unnoticed by the average person and definitely had gone unnoticed by us, I think, until really examining it closely, is if you look at the M, the uppercase M and the shoulders of the uppercase M, there's just little bit smaller pieces of stone that were added to the top to make the height the right height. So, it's one of those things that if the stonemasons, they started with the P, you know, which is pretty straight away. You've got, you're just using solid pieces of stone and you make a P. Then you make an E, which is really straight away too. Then you start working your way down, and by the time you get to the M and you're working all these angles out, you realize that maybe the M, the way it's constructed, isn't quite tall enough to match the other ones.
The height has already been established, as you can see, before you get to the M. Now they're there and our bars no longer are long enough. Mm-hmm. What now?
And they just decided. Was that something they hadn't premeditated? They just kind of realized as they were working that they needed to add on?
Or the material didn't come long enough?
I think it was likely that when they got right after the A and looked at where they were, it was kind of like, okay, this is what we'll do.
I think that's evidence that the people who actually did the sign up there weren't professional sign makers. I think they were the brick masons.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Being instructed by an architect.
And, being instructed by the architect's drawings. Architect may not have been here, and they had to figure out, well, how are we going to make this work?
Well, one thing that I've noticed, actually just from standing here for the first few minutes, is there's a period at the end of the name, which to me a period says a lot. Is there anything behind that? Wow. Anything from the designer's end?
It could be as simple as just saying it's Pearl Laundry, period. We're the best, period, you know? Whether or not it's a grammatical thing, it's really hard to say. Do you know?
I think what it is the architect had that on the front elevation, and the brick people just looked, what's on the elevation, we'll put it in.
Yeah. They just had a leftover brick, is what you're saying?
No. The architect originally had that spelled out in the front elevation, the front drawing, and he put a period in there, and the brick masons, very obedient to the drawing, popped it in there. It's not hard. That's probably the easiest one they did.
Right. It's definitely the easiest one they did. And that's part of the, I think that's part of the interest about the sign is the fact that the lettering takes the shape, was made almost like Legos in a way, that they had stone that they had to use. You know, and it comes in, in a certain width or, certain lengths. And the letters all had to be made to be legible. They had to be made to be just the right size.
Well, it has a texture, which is really interesting for typography.
You mean a dimension?
A dimension, exactly. Yeah. So it's really interesting up close.
Dimension probably came not only because it gave a little additional eye appeal, but also because if those were added rather than built up with the bricks, if they were added afterwards, they may have cut that brick and set them in, and it's easier to set them in halfway than to try to make everything flush. Mm-hmm. So you kind of go, let's roll with it and use the dimension because it actually looks better as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a combination of the methodry and the appearance is why it ended up with texture or slash dimension.
I think we could talk about this one for hours, but just a testament of how one sign could tell a story, I think. Right. But let's continue on to our next stop. We just walked over to our second stop. It's Stag Safety Equipment. And I was talking to Matt on the way over, and he said that this sign actually is a combination of different decades. 1960s and 1930s is what we were saying?
Yeah, and all pulled together in the 80s. So from what I understand from talking to Chuck Stag, the owner of Stag Safety Equipment, that they moved into this building in the 80s. It's a combination of several different things. You have a combination of dimensional plastic lettering from the 60s, and then the safety equipment is in a really beautifully welded stainless steel lettering from what we believe to be the 30s, which came off of the Chrysler building, the Chrysler factory.
Wow, so it's recycled. It was taken from a different building.
Definitely, yeah. There's an interesting story that they're stainless steel. They're amazing in their detail and the perfection of how they were put together. These are, again, a classic example of what Mike referred to as the stovepipe style of lettering. They didn't have a queue. Because these are obviously letters that were rearranged from an original sign. So they found a stainless steel welder that attached the little bar on the Q to the bottom of it. So that was done.
It looks like a buck tooth.
Yeah, like a buck tooth. Yeah, but I think really well done. Uh-huh. You know, I think like they thought about it and they really put it together and it matches how it was done. You can still see the seam, obviously. But it's just a kind of a fascinating piece of Evansville history. It's an odd combination, but nonetheless interesting and sort of historically relevant. I think it's definitely worth checking out, especially the stainless steel lettering, which I've admired for years.
And just to convey to the listeners, Matt is not joking. He said, I'm getting the chills looking at this.
Mm-hmm. Really? The lettering and the welding and the way that these stainless steel letters are put together, I think is very uncommon. You're not going to see letters of this size and dimension put together anymore.
Particularly the stainless steel material, I think, is what makes them mm-hmm. exceptional in terms of their craftsmanship. Another thing that catches my attention as a sign painter, if you will, is even back in the 30s, they knew they were making constructed letter cans, which were dimensional. So not only did they pick a simple, clean, bold typeface, they actually picked a font that was called Shadow. When you see that font expressed in print, in two dimension, the shadow is shown simply as a black shadow, but it made an ideal font to adapt for a dimensional letter because the shadow, there's room for it. Everything doesn't block up, everything doesn't become obscure, and the S in particular, you can see the way it's intentionally opened up so that that letter can part maintains legibility.
Well, what I think is so interesting, as someone without a design background, but you really can get a sense of two different eras just from looking at this. What was going on nationally or even locally? I mean, the safety equipment segment, that's talking about when we were a manufacturing hub, and Stag is more 60s when we were using more plastic, and it tells a story.
Yeah, it really does.
There's a lot of connection in the stainless steel sign to the 1930s. It does have the 30s design feel of modern and Art Deco. And of course, when you say the Chrysler plant to many older listeners, that really tugs at their heart, because when Chrysler left, I believe in the early 60s, it was a major devastating moment for Evansville. And this is a connection back to that factory, which was very important to Evansville.
You are listening to The Trend here on WNIN. I'm on a tour with designer Matt Wagner, sign painter Michael Eads, and historic preservation officer Dennis Au. We're about to take a look at two very detailed signs that reveal the artistic flair of the people who created them. Later on, we'll hear how this painstaking artistry affects how a city views itself, and conversely, how it's perceived by outsiders. For now, back to the typography tour in downtown Evansville.
We are at the Department of City Water Works, and the sign is pretty goofy for something so institutional. It's a serif font. The letters are not in line. They're just kind of, they look tipsy. And it's just impressive. It's got character and it's comical. Who wants to talk about this?
It's always been so curious to me. It's on this, you know, aged concrete, like obelisk-shaped piece, and then it's this cast bronze thing. But then at the same time, it's so playful and casual. So it has this sense of weight and permanence and heaviness and age. But then the style of it is completely in contrast to that. It's more schoolhouse rock than you know, the rock that it's like attached to, you know. So again, this is one where you can really see the hand of the artist.
Mm-hmm. And the personality. Know? I mean, yeah. He must have, do you think he was being like ironic? I mean, what?
It's hard to say. The letters overlap each other. There's dimension. The letters are obviously dimensional, but then they overlap each other and they almost dance and play over the top of each other. It's a really interesting sort of contradiction.
Yeah. And Mike, you said something interesting. How would you describe the lettering?
It is so casual and has so much bounce and bob about it that it, to me, it looks like 1960s stoner's casual. You know, when you basically had time and sat down with a notebook and just drew something up, each individual character at a time, kerned and laid out any way you wanted, it doesn't look like something that had the kind of thought that normally goes into a municipal plaque.
It doesn't look formal.
It looks like something that might say schoolyard straight ahead. You know, it has that kind of playfulness about it.
Yeah. It's not government. You know, it does playful, ironic, or I just got back from lunch at Hagedorn's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that a West Side bar?
Still there.
Yeah. Franklin Street.
And so, you said 1960s stoner, but when was this actually made, what do you think?
I think it was actually made in the 50s, 60s, in that range. I don't think it's much older than that from the look of it. It looks so much from that, at the very earliest, late 50s.
But it is a contrast between pyramidal obelisk here and this playful sign. You know, the obelisk says classic, the sign says play.
Yeah.
What does this say to you about Evansville's history of craftsmanship? I know it's had a long past of manufacturing, but this is creative and artistic.
Absolutely. I see it in buildings all the time. We've had great designers here, like F. Manson Gilbert, for example. Look around. You know, yes, there are great buildings in other places in the country, but we have them too. We had some great design here. Just look around. You'll see it. It'll pop out. And appreciate what you find. Look. This is a good example. If you just look, you're going to find something interesting. And this one will also make you smile.
So now we're standing in the entrance of the Christian Science Reading Room. And it was once Weingarten Furs a long time ago. But this sign, you would completely miss it if you were just walking by on the sidewalk, because it's in the inlay right as you walk in, right in the ground. And it's so striking. Each letter has a character, and I mean, in particular, my favorite is the W. It looks like it's been squeezed in, and the points are really dramatic on the bottom, really pointed. But Matt, why don't you tell us why you selected this stop?
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this spot is because, first of all, like you said, I think it's something that people walk by every day, and it's really kind of a beautiful, interesting piece of Evansville history, well put together, and it's in surprisingly good shape after all these years. I mean, what we're looking at here is a very sort of like Art Deco typeface, which is in white terrazzo, and then it's set on a backdrop of sort of like gray with some red mixed in of terrazzo to kind of set it off. And then there's a really interesting triangular, almost like a backgammon board pattern in green and white terrazzo that's just behind it.
It echoes the W.
Yeah, it definitely echoes the W, and that's kind of one of those interesting things. You can see how they use this interesting sort of oddball shape of space in here and filled it with the type and the imagery. If you notice, the designer slash craftsman, who, however this was done and put it down, made judgment calls in the letters. When you see repeating characters like the R's, Weingarten is smaller because it's a longer word, and then Furs is bigger, and there's an R in both of them. The smaller R isn't the bigger R, or isn't just like the bigger R. It's not like on a computer nowadays where you would just type out a letter and make it bigger. They've made judgment calls and filled the space in a little bit different way, which is really kind of is a craft that's been lost with computer-generated type and is just now becoming to come back into favor with designers, is the fact that letters aren't the same at different sizes.
What you're saying is, you know, if you pull up a Word document, for example, and you take one letter and then you copy that letter, make it larger, mm-hmm. That's not exactly how it works in design.
Not only that, in a sign program, you can take one letter and stretch it like silly putty in any direction. That's not what's happened here. You know, these have been reconsidered and relayed out, so there's no distortion, you know.
Right.
Everything that's in is intentional. They didn't simply take this R and squish it. If they would, these would have all been thin, and this would have been distorted in order to achieve this height. The G and the S and the R particularly look like something that was lettered with a brush. Mm-hmm. And as I told Matt when we came to look at the site last week, it's not at all uncommon for journeyman craftsmen who are doing a sign job to come to a sign shop to have them create the pattern. And in particularly in years past, oftentimes those patterns were simply created on the easel with a brush. I'll brush this out for you. This is what you want. And then they'd come back and perforate the edges of that brushed pattern to give the craftsman the pattern to take and do in whatever material he was doing, whether it was brick, stainless steel, terrazzo, whatever. You know what I mean? Rather than a computer-generated pattern. And this little flip right under Dennis's foot, just that little bit of tension there is something that is reminiscent of a brush. Mm-hmm. And if it's in a typeface, it's something that the type designer had to intentionally impart, or it was imparted with a brush. But that's where it comes from.
Yeah. You would never see these exact letters just like this anywhere else. That's probably true of everything that we've looked at so far and that we will look at today, is that the way these were done is in a way where the soul of the craftsman or the soul of the designer comes through in a way of their, you see their hand, you see the way they did it. And it's kind of like the telephone game in a way, where maybe it started with a newspaper ad, then a sign shop made their version of it, and then the craftsmen get on site and they do it.
So it got reinterpreted.
Yeah, it reinterprets until it comes out like this, and it'll never be exactly like this, probably anywhere else.
For me, this sign screams modern.
Yeah.
In a 19th century downtown, this sign screams modern. It screams of the era of the Peanut Man that was downtown in the time period when Main Street was in its heyday.
So if it had a theme song, what would it sound like to you?
Something from a play done to the Yakety Sax.
There you go.
Boots Randolph.
Exactly.
You know, in those days, people used to actually drive their cars up and down Main. You know, it was that sort of neighborhood Main Street, you know, so it definitely was a different time.
But so what are your feelings moving forward with little gems like this? I mean, this is actually a huge gem we're standing on. How do you move forward and develop?
You know, one thought that crossed my mind, and the reason why I'm really particularly interested in doing this piece, is that one of the things that keeps coming up is a theme of details. Mm-hmm. That a lot of these signs, it's about the details, and it's about the time that it took to put them together. It's about the level of craftsmanship that it took, and the expense that it took to do some of these things. And I think it harkens back to a time when the person who did this sign wasn't just a technical person on a computer typing things out. These things had to be considered. The people that put these together were generally skilled craftsmen and skilled designers. And I think as the downtown is redeveloped and as Main Street is redeveloped, one of the ways that we can pay homage to this type of thing is to work is to have designers and architects and people involved in the redevelopment that pay attention to those details, that take those same considerations and not just like throw things together, actually put a level of detail that makes these things, that puts these in a context of the way that they used to be.
Well, I can't help but mark the contrast here. You know, we're standing on this while there's a Curls MT over your shoulder.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, yeah. And that is the thing, is that as you stand here and look at this Weingarten sign, you look down the street and you can see plenty of signs that did not even have come close to having this level of attention and detail put into them.
Most of those signs won't be here.
Right.
10 years, certainly not.
Right.
Maybe two or three.
Right.
The intention and level of thought and detail for the signs we're looking at, I think, is a large part of why we're able to still look at them.
It's not just the name and a word. The style and the design conveys a meaning as well. So mm-hmm. What, you know, step in the shoes of the designer. What were they trying to convey with all these design decisions?
It's just like what Dennis said, I think. Modernity, luxury. You know, this is obviously Weingarten furs. You know, it was during a particular time. This would be something where you'd want to attract a certain level of clientele. If you can imagine when this was brand new.
Oh, 50 years ago, this was glossy.
Yeah, polished.
Slick,
yep.
You know, yeah. Almost marble-like.
I've read in the newspaper when one of the buildings downtown was redesigned, they wanted to look jet engine modern.
But also, I think business owners, and they need to demand a higher level. You know what I mean? And think of the design that you're putting together and the installation of your signage in your building as, you know, it's your front door. It's the face of your business. It's like your face. It's like you think about what a big deal that is, and maybe you should put a little bit more thought into it than just typing out whatever font is on your computer at that particular time. Like Mike said, it's the reason why these are still here. It's the reason why even today good signs can be made that'll stand the test of time.